The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
St. Patrick says, no, let O'Brien screw the pickup again and add another nail to the coffin. The guy's not going anywhere. I mean, he is bulletproof. It's obvious. He's got Cal McNair sitting there at his side with his hand up his back, you know, saying puppet stuff. I mean, I guess there's something to that. Let's just let the whole thing fall apart again, and then maybe Cal will fatten up the organization again. And I kind of get the sense you feel the same way about the UFC. At first, I thought they were going to have the fights on the island.
No, they're just using that for transport, apparently. Dana, they asked him, so are you gonna be testing all of the fighters for the coronavirus? And instead of saying absolutely, he said, listen, we're going to go above and beyond. We're going to make sure that this thing is safe. Which to me sounds like no, right? Because otherwise, if you're asked that question and the answer is yes, don't you just say yes?
Here's Brett Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number 3, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at the producer Nick, right now at Lance Zierlein as well. You can text the show if you wish, 713-780-3776. You missed any of that. First 2 hours, all on podcastarena.com, all over the place today, and just having a fun show. And now it's going to get even more fun because here's Lance Zierlein. And Lance, our theory is we get a hacker, and when the Texans pick comes up, you tell the hacker who to actually pick, and you pick it instead of Bill O'Brien.
I mean, I like it. I like it. The problem is he actually might pick decent talent. He and Brian Gain had a decent draft. It's all the other stuff. It's all the other free agency and trades and contracts. It's all that other, you know, minor stuff that has been a for sure problem. Now, it might be a disaster this year too. But I don't know. I'm hoping that Jack Easterby has a really good eye for cornerbacks.
Well, as long as they played for Liberty, I'm sure they're great players. So.
Well, there is a wide receiver from Liberty that's pretty good, but, you know, just saying, there is one named Antonio Gandy-Golden. So, right about the third round, if the Texans make him a pick, it'll be right in the wheelhouse.
Oh, boy. So, how many players do you have left to do?
44.
How, is it a bit more? I know the reason why you have an office at the building is because it's a pain in the ass to do this at the house. How tough has that been for you?
Well, so luckily I've got the same place I do my radio show, which is kind of an abandoned house right now. I mean, there's one person living in it, and they're friends of mine in Belize, and so I get to go there, set my radio show up every morning, and I've got my tape set up in one of the rooms. So I've got a makeshift office there. So if it were with the kids, I've done it here at this house. Not possible. I'm too easily distracted, as you guys know.
That's crazy.
You know, hitting brakes on time, et cetera, et cetera. I'm super easily distracted. All I need is about 4 kids, a dog, and 3 adults in a room together. And that makes it way easier for me to work.
Yeah, I spend half my day fighting off one dog. I can't imagine what it would be having all those people there.
You know what I didn't get to see today, because I was on the air? And I didn't know about it, but it was Akeem Olajuwon's, I mean, kind of iconic. And if you're a Houston Rockets, if you're a longtime Rockets fan, his game against the Seattle Sonics in the playoffs where
he scored like a million points and had a million rebounds.
Yeah, where Dirk Minifield dribbled the ball off his leg or whatever in the game, but Dream had like 46, 29, and 6. He was absolutely, and that was the Dream that was really still kind of raw. Like he was still not the polished offensive player, but he was just an explosive athlete. You could see was starting to come around. And, you know, to take that back to the NFL draft, I kind of see this guy, you know, Chase Young, who I know he's not a quarterback, he's not Joe Burrow, he's not Tua. I was talking to a couple of NFL teams. They have been by a long shot, the same way I do, that Chase Young is the best player in this draft. And when you see all the physical ability, and I know people, well, what about the last two games against? I mean, when you really think about it, that's just not very smart, because a player is going to get better. He's going to get more coaching. He's going to get things figured out. If you have a special athlete who's already really productive, it's the worst idea in the world to hyper-focus on a game. That's like saying, what about the game that Akeem had against Georgetown in the 84? Maybe he's not going to be a player. Okay, maybe not, but maybe he's going to be one of the great centers of all time. So that's just kind of a reminder that when you have special traits, special athletic ability, special talent that you can see just needs to be developed, you have to be very careful about passing on that kind of talent. And that's what happened when the Texans took David Carr over Julius Peppers. And that's, you know, what's going to happen when Joe Burrow goes ahead of Chase Young. Now, I'm not saying that it's a lock that Young's going to be better than Burrow, but what I'm telling you is we've seen this scenario before.
Where do you rank, because you say Chase Young's head and shoulders the best player in this draft, where do you rank Isaiah Simmons, who's a guy that I've been high on for a while? I think he's just a fascinating prospect, mostly because he's so versatile. But where do you put him amongst the top guys in this year's draft?
Well, I think he's in the top four to five, probably top four. And I think Chase Young can come in and make an impact right away a little faster. To me, Isaiah Simmons still has a little bit more learning to do. Like, he's got to learn to play linebacker more. He's got to tighten up his instincts. He's got to, you know, get his run fits, just basic fundamental stuff that he's still learning. But then you see how fast he is, how explosive, how long-limbed he is. Like, all those special athletic traits that he has, that's going to – you use that to project. You don't just say, okay, everything he has on tape, this is who he's going to be. No. What can he be? What is he going to be? And with Isaiah Simmons, when you really start to project the talent in that body type, AJ, that's where, I mean, because you already see the flashes. That's why you're excited about him. That's why I get excited. You see wow plays. And when you see wow plays, those plays can be cultivated and turned into wow quarters, wow games, wow seasons. And, you know, our own J.J. Watt, I mean, he came out with a big motor. He was a very good tester. People kind of sleep on what a great combine he had. He had a really, really impressive combine. And then, you know, he had skilled hands. He had great effort. It's the same thing happened with T.J. Watt. I mean, T.J. Watt came out, and I thought, yeah, you know, he's pretty good. When J.J. was coming out, I remember thinking, yeah, he's pretty good. He's a try-hard guy, hustles, yada, yada. But look what happens when you get a little more coaching, when you make it your full-time job, when you eat right, when you train right, when you work at your craft, you can develop from being a good player to a great player. And that's why football character is so important. How hard do you work at your craft? How much do you love the sport? And people can talk about the corny J.J. Watt stuff all they want. He won three defensive players a year and hit 20 sacks in a season twice. I mean, you know why he did that? Because he busted his ass to make himself physically better. He improved his play, and he just had a relentless motor. And that's what I love. Guys who just never, ever stop. Saquon Barkley's like that. I mean, he's just a running back. He's just a different position. You just love that kind of mentality. When Odell Beckham Jr. is not being a total turd, that guy has...
You're not allowed to say that anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has competitive nature that is, like, off the charts. Quintez Cephas. I know you guys watch some college football. That's not a sexy name, but from Wisconsin, he ran like a 4.7 at the combine and then ran in the low 4.6s at his pro day. I'll just tell you now, he's going to be a successful pro player because he's just as competitive as it gets out on the field. So I don't care what he ran. I'll bet you he's a good pro.
I have a question on the text line for you. When Lance does his draft board, does he take into account what the drafting team needs, or if so, does he just do an overall rank that doesn't consider the team picking? I'm guessing you do both.
So when I do the draft board, when I give them a grade, I give them a grade for any and all. I make the assumption that a team, that if they're a scheme-specific player, I make the assumption that that scheme is the one who's going to target them. So basically, I'm grading players for the types of teams that they will probably play for, if that makes sense. So it's kind of a wide open, you know, I'm not projecting them to go to a team that doesn't fit. It happens sometimes, but that's not what I project. Sometimes I'll take a player and I'll put a grade on them on the high side, like I did with Jeffrey Okuda and Chase Young and Isaiah Simmons. And sometimes I will, you know, I'll kind of err on the side of caution, like with Christian Fulton from LSU, you know, the speed stuff, A.J. Terrell from Clemson. If I see you have trouble against speed or not finding the football with your back to the ball, that concerns me a little bit. And I saw that from both those guys in the playoffs.
You know, when we talk about scheme and you want to get, you're looking at guys who are going to fit a certain scheme, and a guy that we've talked about a lot who is scheme specific and really needs to be put in the right position is going to be Joe Burrow. Who are some of the teams, and obviously it looks like the Bengals are going to take him number one, but who are some other teams that their coaching staff would be a good scheme fit for Joe?
I hadn't really thought about that. I would say, well, I mean, Carolina, obviously.
Right.
Because it's Joe Brady. That would be one. I would say, I mean, New England, obviously, because they have a history of running spread. I would say the Rams, but obviously you're talking about teams that actually need quarterback.
Well, the Patriots fall into that category. The Patriots do fall into that. Could you envision a situation where the Patriots trade up?
Oh, my God. I mean, if they had draft capital, this would be the time that they would unload it for a chance to get Burrow, but it's just too far back. There's nothing they could do. Unless they traded
future
players,
picks.
I mean, really good players to the Bengals, too. I can't see the Bengals moving off of the fan base is so enamored with him. The ticket sales are going to be so high with Joe Burrow as a quarterback. I can't envision a world where the Cincinnati Bengals – pass up on the money that's going to print money for the first couple of years minimum.
All right, that's Lance Erline, and joins us every week. Talk a little NFL, talk a little draft, talk a little barbecue, whatever he wants to talk about because he's a legend. Lance, good luck getting everything done, and hopefully we'll see you in this little poker tournament that we're doing on Saturday.
Yes. So, yeah, what time does it start again, Fred?
It's going to start at 2 o'clock, and all the information on how to sign up is on SportsMap. So,
I need to push it out there. I saw you text. I've been just at my head down working, but I don't have to do any TV for NFL Network, so I'm good. Looks like I'll be playing some poker.
Well, that sounds good. You can do that and evaluate players at the same time. So, all right, Lance.
Wouldn't be the first time I've played poker and evaluated players at the same time.
In fact, I've seen you do it. So, all right, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, AJ, I have to ask you about something that apparently is a term that I didn't know was a term.
Okay.
So I want to get your opinion on it. We'll take a quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So, I didn't realize the term Karen had become such a popular Twitter term.
Yeah, people don't like that for some. Well, old white women don't like it.
Well,
it's kind of like boomer. It seems like this is a big deal, boomer. But yeah, people are like I saw something the other day. People are trying to say that it's basically like the N-word for middle-aged white women.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, those people have it the toughest, middle-aged white women.
Yeah, it's the... I had to look this up in the slang dictionary.
Okay.
And it says, it is a mocking slang term for entitled, obnoxious, middle-aged white women. especially as featured in memes, Karen is generally stereotyped as having a blonde bob haircut, asking to speak to retail and restaurant managers to voice complaints or make demands, and being a nagging, often divorced mother from Generation X.
That's about right.
Boy, I know a lot of Karens then.
Yeah, you've married a few.
Yeah, no question. So, this is what's going to offend us now?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's not going to offend me, but it's going to offend middle-aged white women not even named Karen, but who get called Karen.
Well, only entitled obnoxious middle-aged white women.
Let's face it, Fred, that's all white women.
Oh, well, yeah, probably.
I mean, except my wife, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Is this another one that we're going to have to add to the list of words we can't use?
Yes. Yeah, that's a big no-no. That's like it's the N-word, it's the C-word, it's all those things. We've just got to block it out of our vocabulary for good.
What if a woman's name really is Karen?
You can't call her that anymore. You're going to have to ask her middle name.
Oh, boy. Oh, so people are really offended by this. Okay.
I don't think they are. I think they're just listen, quarantine's doing crazy things to people, but
yeah.
People don't feel, they don't like to feel like they're being lumped into some, you know, something that's being made fun of.
Well, if you can't learn to make fun of yourself, then...
Well, maybe quit being a Karen and you won't get made fun of.
Oh, yeah, exactly. 409, what are the odds the guy that started the Karen thing was basing it off Ray Liotta's yelling, Karen, in Goodfellas?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think like one of the first women who like called the cops for like on black people hanging out in the park was named Karen. So I think that's where it started.
Okay. I think we can come up with a better, if we really want to use a slang word for that, I'm sure we can come up with something better. But
I'm not crazy about the boomer thing, but it pisses people off, so that makes it even funnier. Like, as long as it pisses off middle-aged white women, it's funny to me.
Okay, because what does that even mean? I haven't heard that one either.
You haven't heard okay boomer?
No.
It refers to baby boomers, basically. It's like it's how young people make fun of old people now. Like, if you've got some old-school take, they'll just say, okay, boomer. And apparently that's very offensive to baby boomers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? How about, just go to bed, old man. You know, I mean, there's plenty of stuff already out there.
Well, this is a quick, it doesn't take up very many Twitter characters. I mean, it's very simple. It's very memeable. Like, go to bed, old man isn't very memeable.
Okay. Well, your get off my lawn guy, that should be memeable.
Yeah, but that's old school. That's old school.
Oh, so we moved on to Boomer.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
Boomer.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, as long as they're not calling you Boomer Esiason, I think it's fine.
Well, it's fine with me because I'm not a boomer. But, I mean, people like you, you know.
I'm actually they've moved that. Like, I was Generation X forever, and then they moved it to where now I'm considered a baby boomer.
Does that piss you off?
Because Generation X sounds cool.
It does sound cooler than baby boomer.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because I don't act like either one of them, but...
Yes, you act like a millennial.
No, I don't act like a millennial. I just act like... I try to... You know me, I'm an existentialist. I don't like labels.
Oh,
except
okay.
Except being an existentialist. Anyone, Hockley Dan asks, anyone getting the vibe that Bill O'Brien has been streaming draft day, getting ready to take notes on every move Kevin Costner's version
probably
of the GM
so.
Makes? Yep.
And it's probably a good call.
But
that team got Arian Foster. Arian Foster, one of the greatest Texans ever, right? Makes sense. Put the pieces together.
There you go.
As Raheel would say, follow the money.
Okay, boomer Karen is the ultimate insult, according to HR at work.
Oh, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Somebody says only Karens can call other Karens Karen.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. I guess everybody has to be offended these days. Good for you. Let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Take the family to the movies on us from the comfort of your very own home. ESPN 97.5 wants to hook you up with a family movie pack with two digital movie codes, one for the adults and one for the kids. Enjoy Rogue Warfare, The Hunt, and Sonic the Hedgehog, starring Jim Carrey. Just head to ESPN975.com and register to win your pack now. 662 says, I'm offended that my wife gets offended because I told her I'm practicing social distancing, so I can't sleep with her. My wife's been telling me that for 3 years. Should I be worried? And Robert Paulson says, okay, Boomer, get off my Karen. Boy, that sounds like the start of a porno, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, anyway, got anything you want to get to here? I just realized we only have two segments left, and we have a Hey Man Bleep Deck coming up.
Yeah,
so.
Man, time is flying by. We didn't get into it yesterday, but apparently there's interest in Jadeveon Clowney, but not enough that anybody's pulled the trigger yet. The Browns are amongst the teams reportedly in the market for him. Obviously, the asking price is probably a little higher. He may potentially seek a short-term deal and then try again next March. But Cleveland is – they'd be interesting because, you know, they look at him – putting him next to Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon, and obviously Garrett and Clowney, you're talking about, you know, a top-tier, you know, bookend pass rush. And yeah, three sacks last year. Everybody talks about the sack numbers with him. He also had four forced fumbles, which is a pretty good stat too. So 59 quarterback hits, 24 and a half sacks with Houston from 2016 to 18. Pro Bowler all three of those seasons. It's not a great time for him to be a free agent because he was banged up, but Cleveland may be interested. And then Russell Wilson is reaching out to Jadeveon Clowney on Instagram and said, Clowney, come back. If you're listening, we got another Super Bowl to win, man. We need you. We need you to come back, Clowney. If you can hear me, please come back, bro. I need you, homie. So 13 games he played last year and I mentioned before, three sacks, although he did have another sack and a half in their two playoff games. So lots of people want Jadeveon Clowney. I think not a lot of people want to pay Jadeveon Clowney price tags.
Well, and I think it's reasonable to not want to pay him. And when you look at it, if you're looking for a pass rusher, he's not a pass rusher. 9.5 sacks is his career high. I mean, he's never had more than 10. He gets pressure, and he's one of those guys that gets close a lot, which is good. If you've got another pass rusher, then that guy's going to pick up a lot more sacks because of Clowney. But he's very good against the run. He makes an impact on the game. It's hard to look at the sack numbers and say, oh, we're going to pay this guy like an elite pass rusher, because that's not what he is. But he's a really good player. I think $20 million a year is probably asking too much.
Agreed.
But I don't think 15 to 16 is out of line.
No, I don't either.
Maybe even 17, because that's a good price for a player who makes an impact on the game. But
well, it's just, you know, I mean, it's just like Laremy Tunsil. It's not necessarily about, is he worth that? It's, is he the best pass rusher on the market right now? And I think the answer to that is probably yes.
Yeah, unless you're going to make a trade with the Jaguars. But
right.
Even then, that's the thing is, the difference is, it's how important Laremy Tunsil is to the team he's on.
Right.
And Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a luxury for whoever signs him at this point. So now if he's worth that much to the Seahawks where they want to spend $20 million, then he'll get $20
million. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd consider him a luxury to the Seahawks. They may be – he may be a necessity to them. But, yeah, like the Browns, who are, like we said, already have Myles Garrett, that would definitely be a luxury signing.
Yeah, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with trying to make a strength stronger.
Nope.
Although I feel like the Browns will screw up whatever they do. So
that's the Browns' move.
So I got a text from a guy who said, I followed your instructions to the letter on signing up for the poker tournament, and I can't find the home games on my mobile device.
And that means he didn't follow instructions to the letter.
Can I read you a sentence here? Just how to play. You will need a PokerStars.net account, also .bet. It is the free site. Do not sign up for PokerStars.com. It is not legal in the U.S. You will need a laptop or desktop. The site does not support mobile for home games.
So he almost read it word for word.
Is that confusing at all?
Yes, very.
Because I'm sure they just read the first sentence, and then he skipped down to the once you're set up on PokerStars.
Basically.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I try so hard to make things easy on people and make it fun, and you know, you get that, and you're just like, sir, you made it very clear that you can't do it on mobile. I wish we could. And at some point, you know, hopefully the site will get it, but it's not. I mean, PokerStars isn't going to spend a whole hell of a lot of money
on their their free thing up. Yeah, they're not making money off of it.
Yeah, because the only money they make off of that is when people buy chips, and that's such a little amount of money. It's like buying stuff for your games that your kids are playing.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that we actually have that site is pretty good. I mean, obviously they make all their money off the real site, but, you know, if it gets to where they're making enough for them to justify doing that, I'm sure they will, but... You know, I don't know how much they get from people buying fake chips. I'm sure there's a bunch. And, you know, I've even thought about adding another million just to, you know, support that end of the site because we're able to do so much on it. But,
well, I know that they had a lot of, like a lot of their free games were shut down over the weekend. I'm guessing they've got a lot more traffic than they normally have.
Yeah, I know that... Well, I know the pay site had a record number in the PokerStars million, even going back to the old days.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's the rest of the world. And one of these days, I'm going to do this thing and get a VPN that everybody tells me about so I can, you know, pretend like I'm still in Canada. But, yeah, I found out today there's certain things I can't do because I'm based in Canada. Like, I can't set up a home game. I can play in it, but it just says you're not in a place where you can set up a home game. And it kind of makes sense because I should, but at the same time, when I log in from here, it says, sorry, you're logging in from an address that won't allow you to play on PokerStars.com. So, I don't know, man. I'm just a humble servant of the world.
Yeah, we just take what we can get.
Somebody says a mobile phone guy is exactly who needs to be in the tournament. Easy money. Oh, I know a lot of really good poker players who, when it comes to basic stuff like that,
or when it comes to technology.
I have a lot of really smart friends who had to text me and ask me questions. And it's like, oh, that's what that meant. Like, yeah, that's what that meant. So I'm not gonna judge. Just all I ask is if you've read the instructions and you can't get in, you can either email me directly or email the address that's on there and we'll get you set up. But don't try to do it on a mobile.
Please.
Oh, boy. I've still got these Ellen DeGeneres things I want to get to, and we don't really have time now, but at some point, I've been teasing that for a week about how mean she is to everybody.
Yeah.
And I haven't, here's an interesting one for you, a little Hollywood, since it's not Hoffman on Hollywood Day. But apparently they've started getting together for Ant-Man 3.
Oh, okay.
And
well, during coronavirus, huh?
Well, pre-coronavirus, but they're getting all the right people. But Peyton Reed is going to direct it again, and he's done a great job. But here's what I find interesting. Jeff Loveness, a writer and co-producer on Rick and Morty, has been tapped to pen the script for the third installment.
All right. That's exciting for you, right?
Yeah, well, the writing on that friggin' show is through the roof. So I'm really interested to see. He's got the same director, so I mean, and I love Ant-Man. I think the first Ant-Man is one of the most underrated of the Marvel movies. I mean, it's in my top five.
It's very good.
It's unclear when it would shoot. They have to get Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and Thor Love and Thunder, who were supposed to shoot this year, but they've all been pushed back. So they reshuffled all their release dates, and so this one's not like in that first group. But apparently he has some Marvel experience. He wrote comics centering on such characters as Spider-Man, Groot, and Nova, among others. So before he was writing for Rick and Morty. He also wrote for Jimmy Kimmel Live. So.
All right.
And said he wrote on TBS's Daniel Radcliffe starring series Miracle Workers.
When did he write for Jimmy Kimmel Live?
It just said he got his start doing that.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't give, you know, like when.
Yeah, because I have a buddy who wrote for Jimmy for 10 years. He might know him.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm sure.
Maybe
I'm sure
we could get him on the
time.
Show.
Maybe so. That would be pretty awesome. Have you watched that Miracle Workers?
No.
It's on TBS. I watched season
one. I don't
have
TBS, Fred. I'm not a rich like you.
Duh. Well, it's I actually bought the book it was based on after I watched season one. I thought it was pretty funny. It stars Steve Buscemi as God.
Okay.
And he's basically Lebowski God. And it was pretty well done. I thought it was pretty funny. The second season, I started watching it. And it's all them kind of doing this medieval thing, and it's not nearly as funny. So I haven't finished that. But it was pretty clever. So, I mean, that's a pretty good pedigree for Jimmy Kimmel and Rick and Morty and that. So. I think I now have high hopes for Ant-Man 3.
There you go.
I would have had high hopes for it anyway, but
exactly.
It's interesting because a lot of these people on Rick and Morty are going and getting their own shows now and things like that, which worries me a little bit because obviously they had a lot of talent there, and I don't want the show to go to hell, but good for them, and it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, well, I can tell you how one thing played out. My hair, it came out great. And you can do the same thing. Just go to 975hair.com and set up your virtual consultation right now. Dr. Linville will get with you. The consultation is free, and he can take a look and get everything set up so that when all this is done, you can go get your hair back. And this is such a cool procedure, man. I looked at a bunch of stuff. I thought about just shaving it. I thought about getting hair plugs, and that just didn't feel right. And all these other things that I looked at, just like, it's not really right. But then I met Dr. Linville, and what he explained in his procedure, the Neograft procedure, is they take the hairs off the back of your head, and they just move them to where you don't have hair. And it's your own hair, and they're just moving it around. It's that simple. And it looks great, man. Dr. Linville knows all about it because guess what? He had it done too, and his looks fantastic. So if you go to 975hair.com, set up that free consultation, and get it done. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're at that point, maybe you just need a little. Like Granato just needed a little bit. I needed a lot. And it was like 2,451 follicles, if I'm not mistaken. But it makes a difference. And you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to like the way you look. And it feels better to have hair again. So get your hair back. Go to 975hair.com. Set up that virtual consultation right now. 975hair.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. All right, let's wrap the show up the way we do every Tuesday with a little Hey Man Bleep That. And Nick, since you're new to this, would you like to lead it off?
Sure, absolutely. I actually just got a text from my sister Her employer is requiring her to take the COVID-19 test and return to work, which I don't understand how. But she did, in fact, wait in line for 5.5 hours. I'm not talking about that life.
Hey, man, that.
To get the test, it was 5.5 hours?
Waiting in line for 5.5 hours.
If you don't mind me asking, what's she do for a living?
Like, she sells, like, cruises and, like, vacations. Like, they're like a middleman company that sells cruises and vacations.
Well, it's like a travel agency or something?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that's like you got to get back to work on that?
Yeah.
Are people buying that stuff right now?
I don't understand how.
Well, yeah, those cruises, remember? I had the thing the other day about how they're way up. But can I just ask a general question?
Sure.
How does standing in line for 5.5 hours with a bunch of other people who might have the coronavirus keep the coronavirus from spreading?
Well, that's a good question. I don't even know if it was a drive-through situation or if it was a situation where they had to stand in line, like you're saying.
Yeah, I concur. All right, mine is kind of related.
Well, I can go next because, yours is related also?
No, yeah, go ahead.
I've got a travel-related one here.
That's better.
Because the proposed bailout for the U.S. airline industry, which, don't get me wrong, I do think that they need to bail out the airlines because, obviously, airlines collapsing now wouldn't be great for the economy, and there'd
Isn't
be a bunch of
socialism?
Jobs lost and stuff. But when you start to dig into where all the money has gone for these airlines, you know how we talk about in oil and gas when there's a problem, it's like they've got to fire people because there's no, like, for whatever reason, there's no money left over from when things are going well.
Yeah.
It's the same reason. It's the same with the airline. And the reason that is, it's stock buyback. The big four flyers that American, Delta, Southwest, United, the four biggest in the country, they're looking to get $50 billion in bailout. In the last 5 years, they've sent $45 billion to Wall Street in stock buybacks. So that's just $5 billion less than what they're asking for. Because, so to me, you know, they've, a big part of their problem right now, they've created for themselves. And I get that they want to get big dividends for their, they want to make their stockholders happy. And of course, they want their CEOs and the top guys to get more bonuses, get more money. But yeah, $44.7 billion went to, which is basically 7 out of every $8 the four airlines sent Wall Street was for share buybacks. So, to me, if they're looking at this as a loan, they need to pay back American taxpayers before they start going and doing any more of this share buyback stuff. And that goes for oil and gas, too. All these companies that get bailed out, I think they need to stop that, and they shouldn't be allowed to do it again until all that money's paid back. So to that, I say,
hey, man, that.
That's basically corporate socialism, isn't it?
Kind of.
Giving them that money?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all right, AJ. They'll just charge you another $10 for your bag next time
right.
You fly. They'll make it all back. You know, I mentioned that hack on the Zoom meeting the other night, and apparently
this is...
You don't
have to call me a hack. I mean, listen, I'm not the best, but...
You weren't on the Zoom meeting, so...
Oh.
But that somebody, we had talked about, somebody did it at a school. Well... somebody did it on a 12-step meeting. Apparently, this is the new thing, is that hackers are hacking into Zoom meetings and putting pornography up and all kinds of stuff. And my favorite one was a 12-step meeting where they basically got in there and put male porn up. It's like, are we really this bored that we want to go and hack people's meetings with stuff like this? I mean... If you're a good hacker, shouldn't you have more interest in getting into somebody else's Zoom meeting? Hell, it was hard for me to get into the damn thing the other night, and I was invited. So, you know, I mean, come on, guys. People are trying to do business the best they can, trying to enjoy themselves a little bit. There's a lot more important things going on in the world than you having a good time by ruining somebody's day. So to that I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
All right. Yeah, these airline bailouts. I agree. They definitely need some help, but the stock buyback thing, come on.
That pisses me off.
And I'm surprised to see, I'm still seeing, not as many flights, and I was always kind of fascinated by the approaches and stuff, because especially when I lived downtown, I could always see the planes approaching to Hobby, and now I can kind of, if I go to one side, I can see Hobby, and the other side, I can see Bush, and there's not nearly as many planes, but there's still a lot more flights than I would think there would be. I didn't think we were supposed to be traveling.
I think there's a lot of commercial, when that's part of it. Commercial flights have to be flying because they can't lay people off and things like that in order to get this this bailout. But also, I think there's a lot of supplies being moved by commercial airliners right now.
Yeah, well, I think that's apparently always the case. A lot of times they'll ship stuff, you know, on a commercial flight, and you know, and I get like FedEx and those kind of things. I just still see an awful lot of them, and it's like, oh, well, I wonder who's doing that and where they're going. But I actually guess you could look that up. There's a flight app that I've got to find it again. I used to be fascinated by it because it would show every plane coming to Houston and where it's coming from, like on approach and everything. I mean, I'm kind of a dork about this stuff, I admit, but you know, I mean, I know who does that, but you know, now especially it's kind of like, what else am I going to do? All right. Well, Nick, great job, man. Always appreciate you filling
in. How's your show been going, Nick?
It's been going great, man. Can't complain. You know, we're dealing with the same delay issues that everybody else is, but I think we're making it work, man. I think we're making it work.
All right.
Yeah, I noticed that's been a lot better this week.
I have too, yeah. And I'm glad you dropped in that first segment because we didn't have any problems after that, right?
Yeah. It was just a matter of you were low, and then Nick turned you up a little bit, and that was that. So all good. And
excellent.
I think we're all figuring out how to fix the glitches as they pop up. And so as we do, we'll have fewer and fewer. And somebody says it's called FlightAware. No, it's not that one. I know that one, but there's one that actually shows all the planes, and then you can click on them. And it's like, I can't. I'll find it. I have a. I'm sure it's saved on my computer somewhere, because you know, whenever you start popping in a website, it'll just automatically come up.
Right.
Yeah. So. Not that I want everybody knowing where all the planes are, but it's out there, so what the hell?
It's available to the people.
Yep. Oh, man. Boy, I wish people would quit tweeting out stuff about, oh, we're showing this game, and this is what's going on, like it's happening in real time. And no.
I know a lot of people who are watching those old-ass games, like, every day.
Well.
Not me, though.
Good for them, I guess.
Yeah. Because I'm a poor. So, I don't have TV anymore.
Yeah, well, you still have TV. You just don't have...
No, I actually sold my TV, too.
Uh-huh.
And gave the money to the poor.
Yeah, that's how you managed to
To poor
watch,
children.
Ozark. That's how you managed to watch Ozark.
I watched that through my neighbor's window.
Uh-huh. Next, you'll be giving up your Wi-Fi and borrowing your neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
All right, that is going to wrap it up. Really good job, Hoffman. That's 2 days in a row.
All right.
Going to give you an A+. Nikki always does great. You know, I have not been bad the last 2 days. Solid C-. We will do it again tomorrow. Hope everybody has a good one. If you want to get in, play the poker free roll tonight, 8 o'clock. And all the information on how to sign up, if you're not already there, available on sportsmap.com. Until tomorrow... Stay sportsy, bitches.